And welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. As always, I am your host, Yo. Thanks for joining us tonight. Before we dive into tonight's program, just want to remind you about that eBay auction to benefit M88. Tomorrow is the last day to bid on many of the items there. So if you've been waiting to get in there and snipe some of those items at the last second, tomorrow is the final day for many of the items on that eBay auction to benefit M88. 100% of the proceeds go to support the station. And, of course, you get the benefit of picking up some Shway stuff like an original Nintendo Entertainment System, a pizza party with the M88 DJs. We'll play some video games, eat some pizza, hang out. There's a power juicer because juice is always better when it's powered as opposed to unpowered juice. So if you want power in your juice, you can get a power. I don't know if that's really what it does, but some people have taken interest in that. So tomorrow, the last day. And thank you so much for your support of M88. We really appreciate everyone who came out and supported us during Sweetness and Light. That was a tremendous success, and we really appreciate the support of the community and our listeners. So thank you so much. And again, if you want to get in on that eBay auction to benefit M88, tomorrow will be the last day to do that. All the details about that eBay auction to benefit M88 are available at m88.org. So you can check that out, and good luck tomorrow. Well, tonight on Raw Talk, we're going to talk about homelessness and homeless people. More importantly, what can we do as Christians to minister to them? With me is Doug Chandler from the Albuquerque Rescue Mission. Doug, thank you for joining me tonight.
Yo, thank you for having me here tonight. It's a real pleasure. I love what you guys do, and I love this program, so it's an honor for me to be here with you tonight.
Well, it's an honor to have you here with us. We've been kind of hooking up with each other off and on for the past year or so, doing some stuff together, and we're trying to make that a more consistent effort, because one of the things we want to do as a station is to help take care of our community and partner with you in doing that. Why don't you tell people a little bit about the Albuquerque Rescue Mission before we dive into any specifics here on this subject in general?
Well, thank you, Yo. Let me do that real quickly. The Albuquerque Rescue Mission has existed in Albuquerque since 1954. I know, Yo, that was even before you were born.
Yes, it was.
Been around a long time. Done a similar ministry that entire time. Serves homeless and needy people. Primarily, there's really two aspects of the rescue mission. They address the physical needs of homeless and needy people. By that, we provide food, clothing, and shelter, just to meet their physical needs, get them off the street, get them some clothes, get them some food. We also, on the other element of it, is a life restoration program. We've had it's called our New Life Program. We have a program there, a residential facility for about 35 men. They reside at the rescue mission. They live there and enrolled in a program. It's about a 12-month program. And it is designed to meet their educational, emotional, spiritual, and physical needs. And it's really focused on developing a relationship with Jesus Christ, who can transform their lives and restore it to what we would consider normal.
And how long have you been with the Rescue Mission, Doug?
I've been there just over 2 years.
And what drew you to be a part of this ministry?
Well, Yo, you know, we're all called into one ministry or another. I'd been working for a number of years, and I started volunteering at the Rescue Mission, just serving breakfast about 2.5 years ago, maybe one day or 2 days a week. And after about 6 months, I had an opportunity to retire, and my wife and I prayed about it, talked about it, and said, you know, maybe you can go down and work at the mission. And I met with the executive director. I had a heart to go do that. God calls us to do that, and I felt called to do that, and the executive director there was gracious enough to allow me to come down there.
Very cool. Well, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about homelessness in general, and more specifically what we as Christians can do about homelessness. Why don't you give people kind of a picture of what the homeless situation is in Albuquerque and New Mexico? Kind of help us understand what the need is.
Well, the homeless situation in Albuquerque is fairly typical from cities this side, larger cities. The estimated number of homeless people in Albuquerque is about 3,600 people. I don't know if that sounds like a lot to you, or I mean, you know, if you think, oh, well, how many homeless people you see on the street, but that 3,600 people is a pretty consistent number. the interesting aspect about that is that there's what we typically see, and I'm going to ask you some questions about this later.
What you see
is the typical homeless person, but what we typically see is some chronic homeless people or people out on the corner with the signs, but there's so many more than that that are what are typically referred to as the invisible homeless. So we don't always see those 3,600 people. But the other interesting aspect about this is there are probably 3,600 homeless people on the street, but throughout the year of 2008, about 10,000 people will experience homelessness because the vast majority of people are not chronic homeless. They're chronically homeless. They're not homeless for a long time. There's a lot of families, a lot of married couples that experience homeless for one reason or another that are short-term homeless, but they all have needs, and that's so they go out, they lose their residence for whatever reason. They may be homeless for 6, 12, 18 weeks, whatever the case may be, and then they get back on their feet. But, boy, that's a tough time when they're homeless. So during the year, 10,000 people experience homelessness.
One of the things I thought was kind of astounding from some of the research that our research assistant, Sorrel, brought to my attention, and she always does a great job. Thank you, Sorrel, for all that you do. But she found some statistics, and one of the things she found was that of the homeless people that are out there nationwide, around 6-something million, a lot of them are actually full-time employed.
Yes.
They work, and they have full-time jobs, but those jobs do not provide the financial means necessary to live what some of us would consider a normal lifestyle.
Yes.
Or even to have a home. And
yes,
as we've seen recently with the subprime mortgage market, that's become a nightmare for a lot more people.
That's
as
right.
They got into mortgages that seemed good at the time, but then when, you know, those interest rates got bumped up, suddenly they found out, oh, wait, I really can't afford this. How did these people let me buy this home? And, anyway, we're not talking about that mess.
No.
But that has contributed. But I found that fascinating that so many of them are actually people who work. And that's not the usual perception of homeless.
No, it's not. And in the Albuquerque area, there's a great organization, called the New Mexico Coalition to End Homelessness, which is a coalition of a whole lot of service providers and government agencies that do a marvelous job in Albuquerque addressing the homelessness issue. They did a survey last year. They didn't have a huge response, but in that survey found that I think it's somewhere of like 27-28% of the people that responded to that surveys did have jobs, but they're homeless. And it's exactly as you say. That's because they don't make enough or they have so many demands on their financial situation that they can't, they have to make those choices. Do I keep my car or do I go find an apartment? And if I give up my car, then I probably can't get to work and then I'm unemployed. So they have to make those choices. Their money goes someplace. It may be to feed their kids, maybe to make medical payments or buy prescription drugs that they need to support themselves and their family.
The thing that struck me when I saw that, one of the things that we've been talking a lot about at our church recently, is the importance that we're blessed to be a blessing. That when you're blessed by God, that isn't just because he likes you more than someone else. That you're blessed so that you can then be a blessing to other people. And a lot of people, think of that, oh, I'm blessed by God, God made me rich. But, there's more to it than that. Maybe it's financial wealth, but the ability to help in any capacity to meet needs, God has blessed all of us so that we can be a blessing to others. And I think as I was preparing for tonight's show, what drove it home to me was these are the people I should be a blessing to. Because, sometimes we hear that, blessed to be a blessing. My neighbor needs a cup of sugar. I could bless them with that.
Yeah.
That's the limit of our vision for how we can be a blessing. But there's so much more that we could do. And if we really think about being blessed to be a blessing to others, this is certainly one area where it'd be useful to have more people get involved in that.
Absolutely. And, that's a great statement. It's blessed to be a blessing, and as we become blessed, there's a great responsibility that comes with that. I had a person tell me years ago, because I was blessed financially and had a good job and a wonderful family, and they said, you're hoarding.
Ooh.
And I thought, it's very convicting, and the blessing that comes with being blessed is not to hoard, but to turn around and give it away. Not only, as you said, not only your financial resources, but your time and talents as well. Many people focus on the sacrifice that comes with serving God, and they ignore or they fail to pay attention to the joy that comes in serving the Lord and to reach out to the homeless when we're blessed, and to reach out and share that with homeless, needy people, people that are struggling like that is a great joy.
Yeah. Well, 505-338-5790, if you'd like to dive in tonight's conversation, maybe you have some questions. Maybe you've been thinking, yeah, I know there's homeless people out there, but I don't know what to do about it. If you got questions about what can you do, how can you help, if you have questions about who are these homeless people, any questions you might have about this that might be on your heart, give us a call. Let us know. 505-338-5790. If you got a comment you'd like to share, we'd certainly love to hear from you. 505-338-5790. Now, you use that term invisible homeless earlier. Let's explore that a little bit. What are invisible homeless, and why are they so invisible?
That it's a great question, because this is one of the areas that has been so enlightening to me over the last couple of years. But let me back up first, Yo, because this is where I want to ask you a question.
Uh-oh.
What would you say, or how would your listening audience, how would you characterize a typical homeless person?
They probably typify them as that person with the cart that contains all their worldly belongings walking down Central Avenue.
Right. Or the guy with the sign,
right,
panhandling on the corner.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's, and then they take that another step. The typical homeless is one of those guys with the card or the sign, and they think they have a substance abuse issue, and many do. I'm not going to downplay that. Many do. But the invisible homeless are all those other people that make up the homeless population that aren't out there with their grocery cart, not out there with their sign that says homeless, can you spare, you know, can you give me a hand? There's a lot of other people. The invisible homeless are people that you don't see, because they're someplace in the system. They may be at a shelter. They may be at a transitional housing facility. They may be down at a government office seeking assistance. They may be staying with their sister-in-law. You know, there's a lot of homeless people that move from place to place that, you know, are they homeless? Well, they don't have a residence, but they may find a place to stay for a short time. They may be in a hotel for a short time, but in fact, they are homeless. So those are the people that are classified as the invisible homeless. If you lost your job, yo, We're not hoping that'll happen.
Okay, good. Thanks.
So, and you just got to a point where you couldn't afford your home anymore, you'd probably find some family member or some of your friends here that might put you up for a while, but technically you're homeless until something came along and you could afford to find your own place again.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of those people. And you think, well, they're staying with family. There's a lot of families that, you know, that's short term. It's short term. And they still have to get out there and find a place to live.
Yeah. Well, I want to explore that idea with you a little bit more. But first, we have Tim on the line. Tim, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Tim?
Good evening. Hey, I'm not a regular listener or anything, but I just happen to be here in your program. I have my cell phone handy, and I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm usually at the grocery stores, and I see these guys. It's like 38 degrees outside, and they're in a T-shirt, and, you know, they're saying, hey, man, I need to eat something. You got any money for food? And I'm thinking, man, this guy, I really don't want to, I want to help, but I don't want to give him money because he's going to turn around and go buy some crack or something around the corner. So, I go, why aren't you at the mission? And they look at me with, you know, weird eyes, and I'm off to my car. I'm wondering, am I right to think this or
That's a good question, Tim, and I'm sure it's a question a lot of people have. What do you do when you're confronted with that person asking for some help right there as you walk out of the store or when you're walking down the street? Or Doug, any advice?
Yeah, Tim, first of all, thanks for the question. And it is a very common encounter with homeless people as they find some place where people congregate and they hit them up for money. And I will tell you my own personal practice is I never give them money. In that case, if the guy's there and he said, I need some money for some food, I try to pray real quick, try to be discerning, and if it looks like a safe situation, which is a very important aspect of that, offer, you know, if you're at a grocery store like your example is, ask him if he wants to walk inside and you can buy him some food. Or if there's a fast food place right next door or someplace like that, ask him if he'll go with you.
Say, okay, let's go get another Happy Meal or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's when I can see they're not looking for food. They want food.
That,
but, you know, it's not really my judgment call. It's not my call to make a judgment on them or anything. I want to help, but, you know, call me Timothy Leary. I don't know, but I just don't like to hand the money.
Tim, that's the right, in my opinion, that is the right answer, because now you've been discerning, you've been wise, you've asked a couple questions. If they're really in need of food, you've offered that. If they don't want it, then there's some other need or some other desire that they have for your money. They don't want your food, they want your money, and they want it for something other than food. So
right.
I think that's a wise way to handle it.
Okay.
And actually, I've had a couple encounters. My wife and I, one time when we were coming out of a KFC, a guy was saying, hey, I need some help. I need some food. And could you give me some money? And we're like, well, we don't have any cash on us, but right. We could take you inside. In that particular case, he was very happy to let us do that. So we took him inside, set him up. We left him a gospel tract because we actually had a pressing appointment that we had to get to. We were taking ours out. We were carrying ours out. But we set him up and said, here you go. Enjoy your meal.
Perfect.
Happy that we could help. And then another time on UNM is the same type of situation. So most of my encounters, actually, where they've been asking for something to eat, and I've only had a very few, but most of them have been, they're very happy for me to take
That's
them
good.
Somewhere to get something to eat. I haven't had too many instances where, like, no, just give me the money.
Yeah.
Most of the times that's happened to me, so... Maybe I'm a special case. I don't know, but I've never had to have too much trouble with that. Usually, they're actually hungry.
Well, and those are good examples, and a great way to handle it is if they really want to go in and get some food, great, get them some food. If you feel safe in that situation, the other aspect with food, however, is there are a number of places in Albuquerque where homeless people can get food. Now, there's certain days like Sundays is a difficult time for a lot of homeless people to find a place to eat. Even like the rescue mission is not open on Sundays. We do not serve any food. And there's a number of other service providers that provide maybe one meal on Sundays. Many of them don't serve any. So Sundays can be a hard day. But I think that's the right way to do it. Ask him if you can do that, fine. If they just insist on taking the money, then you know something else is up.
Well, I hope that helps you out, Tim.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
You bet. Thanks for calling in, Tim. You have a great evening, all right?
Thanks, Dan.
All right. And next up, we have Audrey on the line. Audrey, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Audrey?
I had called in, but I'm upstairs now, and so I couldn't hear what was going on with the program. But I wanted to just make a comment about if the presenter who's presenting could talk about the fact that not only the invisible faces of the working poor, but also about the teens who are suffering from physical abuse or sexual abuse. They end up being homeless, or the children who are in those families,
mm-hmm.
they're also the invisible they're also the invisible faces for homelessness, and you would never see it.
That is a very true comment, and I'm sorry I didn't mention that, but that's very true. There is a broad spectrum of invisible homeless, and it ranges from young people that have been abused that will finally just run away, leave, do whatever they need to do to get out of that situation. Many of them do end up homeless until they can find someplace safe to go. And it ranges in all age. Mental illness is another category that is a sad case to see a lot of number of mentally ill people. And there's senior people as well that just don't have a place to go that some of them are invisible. Many of them are invisible. Some of them live places in town that you'll never see them.
Well, thank you for bringing that up, Audrey.
Thank you.
All right, have a good evening. 505-338-5790. If you have a comment like Audrey, if you'd like to ask a question like Tim did, if you'd like to know more about what you can do about homelessness, how you can minister as a Christian, if you have questions about how to do that safely, as Doug was bringing up, what are some of the parameters for making sure it's a safe situation? How can you tell? How can you know? Questions that you might have about how we can help reach out to the people who are less fortunate, how we can be a blessing because we are blessed. 505-338-5790. It's 505-338-5790. If you'd like to call in tonight as we discuss this with Doug Chandler from Albuquerque Rescue Mission here on Raw Talk. Now, going back to the idea of invisible homeless, one thing that kept coming into my mind is not the situation that they're in, that's the reason they're invisible, but because sometimes we would just rather not deal with it. Why is it so many people would rather just ignore this whole problem? Have you come across that? Do you have any insights on why it's a problem we'd rather just have go away?
Well, yeah, you know, the common one, I think, is, and you hit on it a little bit, there's so many people that see a homeless person or a homeless family, and their first reaction is, get a job,
yeah.
Get a job. Get up and go to work. And there's, as you already pointed out, you know, there's a lot of people that are homeless that are already working. Many of us are blessed to have jobs, and, you know, we haven't experienced that unemployment thing, and hopefully we won't. But a lot of people are good, hardworking people in circumstances, and you mentioned the subprime and mortgage issue and how things are. I mean, energy costs, things are just inflating. The economy's not good. Lots of people are losing their jobs. Why do we not react? Because there's that whole attitude of people should get a job. I think that's probably the biggest thing, the most common response I have heard. And people, many of those people are actively searching for work. And if you had an opportunity to put them to work, they'd probably take it. Many, many of them would.
And how often do you think it is that people feel like, well, I can't really make a difference, so I'll just go on my merry way?
Oh, that is so inaccurate, and we've talked about that a little bit too. You know, we can never underestimate the impact that we can have on people, one person. And you know, you think about how you might touch one person that's homeless by giving them one meal or a coat, how that can reach so many other people that we'll never know about. Because the witness that you bring, the testimony that you bring when you reach out to somebody like that is powerful. And it's probably not going to stop there. And you'll never know. That guy may go and help 16 other people or 6 more other people. You'll never know. But the testimony that goes with that and the power that witness is just unbelievable, and we'll never know. So we can't underestimate the influence that we can have by helping one person.
And I know I've been guilty of that a few times where I've thought, it's not really going to make a difference. All it's going to do is inconvenience me. And I had one particular instance about 2-3 years ago where, well, I'll get into that here in just a moment because it's not a happy story. We have Jana on the line. Am I saying that? Jana?
Jana.
Okay. Well, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Well, I just wanted to give my example. I live out in Moriarty. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I do is because I'm always on the run, I'm always on my way to work, I'm always doing this and that and the other, is sometimes I can't always stop to bring somebody like into the grocery store. So what I do is I'll buy a whole bunch of $5 Subway gift cards and I'll hand them out. Hmm. And I keep a big old pack of like bottled water in the trunk of my car, so I can always hand out water and a gift card to a particular restaurant. That way it's still not giving them cash, but that I can, you know, be on my way.
Well, what do you think about that, Doug?
I think it's a great approach, and I commend you, Jana, for doing that. That's a wonderful approach to do it. You're avoiding the whole issue of money. You don't have to transport them someplace, and maybe, you know, from a safety perspective, maybe you shouldn't be, but that's a great way to help somebody, to hand out something that they can go get something to eat and provide some bottled water. What a great thing to do.
Well, thanks for that, Jana. That's a great idea, and I'm sure a lot of people will be inspired by that. Appreciate you calling in and sharing with us tonight.
Oh, thank you so much. You both have a great night.
You too. All right, take care. Well, you're listening to Raw Talk, and we're talking about homelessness. How can we minister to the people who are less fortunate than we are? How can we be a blessing because God has blessed us? If you got a question or comment or like some good tips like Jana there, give us a call, 505-338-5790. It's 505-338-5790. 5790 if you got a question or comment. So back to my sad story. I was walking out of a particular store, doesn't matter what it was, and there was a person there, and they were selling like postcards or something. I don't remember what it was, but it was obviously someone who was below the poverty line, and they had some physical disfigurement, couldn't really do things as well as they probably would have liked. And I remember walking out, and I feel so embarrassed for sharing this on the air. I remember walking out and seeing them and then trying not to see them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just walked on by. And as soon as I walked out the door, the Holy Spirit hit me with the parable of the Good Samaritan and all those people who just walked on by. And I remember almost breaking down in my car, thinking, wow, I can't believe that I've become one of those people in that parable, the people who walked by. And I remember promising myself I would never walk by again. If I didn't have, you know, something that I could give, I'd at least say something, talk to them.
Yes.
But I would never allow myself to just walk by and act like they weren't there, because I didn't want to be like those other people in the parable of the Good Samaritan. And it hit me so heavy, like even to this day, you have to forgive me, even to this day, it makes me a little, man, I can't believe I did that. But, you know, that was a moment where I was trying to make the problem invisible.
Yeah, and how often do we do that? And people that I'm just glad you caught yourself, you know, yo, and it won't happen again, I'm sure.
No, it won't.
But, you know, we talked off air a little bit about how important it is just to connect with people because they want somebody to listen. And you don't really know their situation, but had you stopped, and I'm not judging. Just had you stopped and engaged them a little bit, you might have learned a lot about them and just really made them connect with you and been a great testimony for you. And you may have been able to help. You may not have been able to help. But the fact that you stopped would have spoken volumes.
Yes, it would have.
So,
and it will.
Praise God that you have learned from that.
Yeah. Well, that was one of those instances where you could almost hear the audible voice of God. I mean, he wasn't speaking to me, but having that scripture slam into my brain so vividly about the other people walking by, that was a life-changing moment for me. And, you know, since then, I've had more of an interest in doing programs I like to share with people. Okay, I don't want to walk by, but what can I do?
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know answers to that, and we'll jump into that here in just a moment. We have Robert on the line. Robert, welcome to Rod Talk. What do you have to say, Robert?
Well, I was just kind of thinking how I could help, and I also was calling so maybe other people could get ideas on, like, if they work in good companies, you know, maybe put a box there with a sign, you know, for homeless needs, you know, and maybe make a couple of drop-offs, you know, like every week or every couple of weeks. And I was wondering, you know, where is this place that we could, you know, drop off some food and other items?
It's a good question.
Yeah, Robert, thanks for that question. And the idea is a great one, and there's a few places that do that for a lot of different agencies. I'll just tell you, for the Albuquerque Rescue Mission, and I don't think you should necessarily be exclusive to us, but you know, I think it's a great ministry. We are located near downtown at the corner of 2nd and Iron. If you actually came down 2nd Street toward Iron, you'd see a sign that says donation drop off, and you can just come in there and do it. But I also want to point out that there's a number of ministries that reach out and secular organizations that reach out to the homeless with clothing needs, with food needs, and I'd encourage you to look into all of them. They're very helpful.
And, Robert, actually, another place that you can do that, if you ever drop by Calvary of Albuquerque, come into the radio station here, if you say this is something that we'd like to give to the Albuquerque Rescue Mission, we'll hang on to it, make sure Doug gets it. And so, you know, you can drop that by here if we happen to be closer. Does that answer your question, Robert?
Yes, sir, you did. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Robert. We appreciate it. Have a great evening, all right?
You too. Bye.
All right. Next up, we have Cyril on the line. Am I saying that right, Cyril? Is it Cyril?
Yeah, that's Cyril. That's
all right. Welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hi, guys. I have a question for you.
Sure.
It's been in my mind for a little while now. That I know in the Bible it says that you should just care about the day that you're in and just don't worry about tomorrow because God will provide.
Mm-hmm.
I feel kind of concerned because everything we do, we always buy groceries that's going to last us for a whole week and pay a mortgage that's supposed to be for the next month and same thing for all the bills we have.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some point, it makes me feel kind of bad because I have enough groceries to last me 7 days and knowing that I will need just for 1 day. So should I just go grocery shopping just for 1 day at a time? And if I have extra money, just give some money for somebody else to be able to have groceries for this day and wait for God to bless me to be able to buy groceries for the next day? Or it's just kind of confusing, you know?
That's an intriguing question, Doug. How would you respond to that?
Well, you know, what comes to my mind right away, Cyril, is that there's also a verse that says, don't start the building of the tower till you've planned or counted the cost. And I think what you're doing, buying groceries for 7 days is there's no problem with that. That seems like part of a plan, part of a budget. What I'd encourage you to do is take a look at what costs you have and plan those costs and what you have in excess. Excess of your needs, not excess of your wants, but excess of your needs. Consider how God would have you use that excess. Because, and that goes back to Yo's point early about blessed to be a blessing. And that's how we can use our excesses to be a blessing to others.
All right.
And I think that's good advice. And you bring up a great point. But at the same time, you know, God wants us to be good stewards of what we have.
Right.
And so trying to buy groceries 1 day at a time, at least in my family, that's just not practical because we don't have the time every day to go to the store and do that. That would not be a good steward of our time. Whereas if we plan ahead, then we'd also have the time to minister to people as well as perhaps have some excess to share. So I don't know if that helps you out a little bit there, Cyril.
Yeah, it should be.
All right. Thanks. Well, thank you for calling in. That's a great question. I appreciate you asking it.
All right.
All right. Take care. Next up, we have Joe on the line. Joe, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Joe?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Absolutely excellent advice. Don't give money, give them food.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely wonderful. And then, again, what the host was, the gentleman that was saying, prayer and discernment, mm-hmm. hand in hand. We were at our Bible study, we were talking about sharing. And, you know, the whole thing with don't cast your pearls before swine versus go unto all the world and preach the gospel. We're just supposed to do what we're told. Don't worry about the results. How do we know if we've made a difference? We don't. We just do what we're told. When the gentleman that runs our Bible study said that, I was like, that's it. That clears my conscience.
Mm-hmm.
Just do what we're told.
Mm-hmm. That is great advice. After all, we don't really save anyone, you know, speaking of salvation. All
correct.
We do is share. It's God and the Holy Spirit that do the actual saving, and that certainly applies to any area of ministry.
That's right.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that, man. That was great.
Thanks.
All right. You have a great evening.
You too, guys.
All right. Take care, Joe. Well, Doug, you know, after I shared my sad story, and by the way, if anyone else has questions or comments they'd like to share, great questions so far tonight, 505-338-5790. If you have a question or comment that you'd like to share about homelessness, how can we minister to them, what can you do, give us a call, 505-338-5790. So after I shared my sad story about walking by, I actually wrote a whole article about it the week after I did it and put it up and got a lot of good email from people saying, oh, great, you made me feel guilty. And I figured, hey, if I'm going to feel guilty, I might as well share it. I don't want to feel guilty alone. That's a whole other story.
Impact, yo. Think of the impact
yeah.
I had on all those people.
Okay, but going back to the lesson learned, I don't ever want to walk by again. Well, we've already heard some ideas, but what are some of the things that you could do instead of walking by? And how can we be sure we're doing it safely?
Yeah, the safe part is... Well, that's a tough question, and it depends. If, you know, it's every situation's unique. there are lots of, let's talk about different situations. The food one we've talked about. The one I struggle with the most is when I come across a guy that says, hey, my car's broke down and, you know, or I've run out of gas. Those are hard ones. And then it gets into the money. I need money to get my car fixed, or I need money for gas. The gas thing gets a little bit easier because you can, if you feel safe again, go buy them gas or give them gas vouchers. The church I go to does not give money. They give gas vouchers. And that's, there's a place that we refer them to nearby our church that we can give them gas vouchers. The one about my car's broke down is a difficult one, especially for people that I wouldn't know if a car's broke down or not. I mean, it might be perfectly fine. I know nothing about cars. I can't tell if it's broke down or, so that's a harder one. But what you can do is, but again, it's driven by safety, is you can go see the guy's car or truck, whatever they're driving, talk to them as we talked about with your situation, and just be discerning. Prayer and discerning is a key part. The safety, that I think, again, you need to be prayerful and discerning. I wouldn't go any place remote. I wouldn't go any place by myself. I don't think I'd ever put my family in jeopardy. I would go with somebody else, and I'd go in a place that is well lighted, populated, lots of people around. Just to, again, very discerning.
A lot of people kind of live in fear of these situations because we hear so many horror stories of like, well, this person was just trying to be a good Samaritan and then they ended up with their head in a freezer. You know, we hear stories like that and then we start thinking, well, I'm never going to do anything like that. And we live in fear. My encouragement is, okay, people, like Doug said, let's be wise and discerning, but let's not be prisoners of fear.
No.
I mean, we have not been given a spirit of fear, Paul told Timothy, but a spirit of power. God says that he'll give his angels charge over us in the Psalms and the Proverbs. And so we don't have to go around being afraid of every encounter that we have. We don't want to be stupid, but at the same time, we can know that we do serve a big God who cares for us and can protect us and will protect us. That's not to say if you go running out into the middle of a street fight in Central Avenue saying, hey, I'll be happy to help you, that's probably not the smartest situation. You might get hurt. But let's not live in constant fear. And I know that's a big thing for a lot of people. They're just straight up afraid of what might happen.
Well, and that's it's a good comment, and I appreciate that a lot. Because I think the fear is initiated because of the unknown.
Right.
Most of us have never had any interactions of any extent at all with homeless people. So there's a fear that comes with that. So, you know, the biggest thing for me when I first started the rescue mission, I'd go down to the courtyard late in the afternoon when it's packed and just go down there and spend some time with some people. Nothing foolish. I mean, it's a pretty safe, it is definitely a safe place, and just to get used to it so that fear of the unknown is gone. After that, it is still prayer and discerning and not doing anything stupid. You just, you know, you can do a lot of stupid things to put yourself in jeopardy or put yourself at risk. And we do not want to do that. And we're not encouraging you to do that. But we are encouraging you, all of us, to do what the Bible commands and to take care of the poor.
I want to talk more about what the Bible says about this here in just a moment. But another question that comes up is, what would you say to someone who's been burned by this type of situation? Someone came up, was asking for help. You thought this would be the good, godly thing to do, and you try and help out, and you end up with your wallet stolen. Or my wife was in a situation where she thought she was helping some lady take care of her kids. Like, okay. And she goes in the store to help her out and totally got taken advantage of, and she didn't really know what to do about that. And so now you're thinking, forget it, I'm not going to do that again. People are just out to get me. Well, what would you say to someone who's experienced that?
I think the best thing you can do is learn from it. Ask God to reveal to you what you've learned from that. And, you know, in your wife's situation, perhaps that was probably a great lesson. Now she's experienced that. She knows what could happen. I'd say pray about it. God will reveal to her what happened. I suspect she'd be much more prepared because there are people. There's people that know how to push your buttons. There's people that know how to manipulate. You've got to be prepared to draw a line and say, you know, you've told me this is your need. I've addressed your need, and that's where we're going to draw the line. We've got just preparation. I'd say if you've been burned, learn from it and be prayerful about it. See what you can do. And I would not harden my heart because you've been burned. I'd pray
that's a tough thing not to do.
Yes, it is a tough thing not to do. But we're called to do that in a lot of life situations.
Yeah,
don't harden your heart.
Now, the Albuquerque Rescue Mission is underwritten, gets some money, gets some help from the federal government, correct?
No.
Okay. I thought that was the... That was the case. It must have been someone else.
Must have been somebody else. The rescue mission takes no money from government agencies.
I wonder who that was I was thinking of.
No, the rescue mission is totally supported by donations.
Okay. So it's all from the community.
All from the community.
And I have to ask, what would you say sets this ministry apart from some other ministries that are working to help the homeless?
Well, first and foremost, we are a ministry, and I think, you know, there are, tell you, since I've been there, there are some incredibly compassionate and well-run secular organizations addressing the need of the homeless. But what sets us apart is I think there's a couple of things. One is we've been there a long time. We're very transparent in how we deal with people, how we handle our finances. We are very prayerful about what we do. We have a good communication system, just trying to share with people, especially our donor base, what we're doing in the community to help the poor, the needy, the homeless people. And we've been there a long time, and we touch a lot of people's lives.
Now, touching on the ministry aspect of what you guys do at the Albuquerque Rescue Mission, How much have you studied the Bible to find out what the Bible says about ministering to homeless, and how have you incorporated that with what the Albuquerque Rescue Mission does?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Well, I've done that since I've been there because it's, you know, it's an interesting aspect because it is a ministry and we truly, but our audience is the homeless. Why do we do that? Because we're commanded to do that. And you can look in a number of places in God's Word to see where we're commanded, how we're commanded to do that, and to reach out to the needy, to the homeless. With the mission does that with all of our staff. All of our staff are born-again Christians. That's part of the deal. If you come on staff, you don't come on staff unless you're born-again Christian. And we minister to all the people. One of the things that always impresses me is when I go down there for a breakfast, And there's a cook sharing God's word with the people in the dining room before we serve the meal.
Hmm.
And that's the call on all the staff there is to be able to do that. So
you're talking about what the Bible has to say about this. I was looking through some scriptures, and it's very fascinating when you look through. And people are thinking, what? I've never seen homeless or homelessness in the Bible. And actually it shows up in a couple places and doesn't really mean what we're talking about when Israel was wandering without their home country and they were homeless.
Yeah.
But the Bible says a lot about taking care of the poor, the orphan, the widow. And, you know, I think a lot of homeless would fit into all of those categories.
Yes.
Orphaned, widows, poor. In Leviticus chapter 25, I thought it was very interesting. Starting verse 35, it says, if one of your countrymen becomes poor, is unable to support himself among you, help him as you would an alien or a temporary resident, so he can continue to live among you. Do not take interest of any kind from him, but fear your God so that your countrymen may continue to live among you. You must not lend him money at interest or sell him food at profit. The thing that struck me about that passage, Not all the stuff that you're supposed to do about how to help them out, but the part where it says, but fear your God.
Yes.
I found that absolutely intriguing that here it's talking about taking care of poor. In the midst of that, the reason you're doing that is because you fear God.
Yes. And if you go through that, and you did a great search, you know, and you can look on poor, you can look, it brings up needy as well, mm-hmm. afflicted, widows and orphans, and it starts in the Pentateuch, starts talking about the poor, and it goes all the way through Revelation. And in many cases, it talks about your rewards for helping the poor. And in a few cases, it talks about your lack of... Well, let's just say punishment, yes. It talks about it. Well, you'll be punished if you do not serve the poor, if you're not obedient, is what it gets down to. There's a lot in the Bible about serving the poor and the needy.
In Deuteronomy chapter 14, I thought this was really interesting. Starting in verse 28, it says, at the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your house, so that the Levites who have no allotment or inheritance of their own, and the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. Now, that to me was an intriguing idea. Here you are every 3 years, bring all the tithes in so you can take care of everybody.
Isn't that awesome? Can you imagine what would happen if we did stuff like that?
I know. That's what I was thinking. When I came across that verse, I was thinking, wow, every 3 years you bring in the tithe for that entire year and you use it to take care of people.
Yeah. Goes back to that discussion about using our excess to help others, I think. And it's same principle, not the same application totally, but not done in the same way. But I think those of us that are blessed that have that excess, it's the same principle.
And I know there's some people who are thinking, yeah, but tithing is Old Testament. We don't have to worry about that New Testament. We're under grace, not the law. And all I have to say to them who feel that way is like, okay, that's true. Well, then in that case, we need to do what Jesus said when that rich young ruler came to him and said, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come follow me.
Yes.
That was Jesus's commandment.
Yeah, that's right.
So you tell me, which would be easier to do, tithing or really following Jesus? Sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come follow him. And, you know, a lot of people, I don't think they quite get the idea that in the New Testament, the scope of generosity and giving is so far expanded beyond what we see in the Old Testament and the law. We like the idea of being free from the law because we think that means we're free from having to do some of this stuff.
Right.
But if anything, Jesus told us to go and do more of it.
Right.
And we miss that. And it's not just Jesus. You look through the epistles, what Paul wrote, all of them were the same way.
Yes.
And you give all that you have to give because God will take care of you. You're blessed to be a blessing.
Yes.
And so, I'm sorry, but it annoys me sometimes when people
preach
are
on,
kinda,
Joe.
Well,
preach
yeah.
on.
My dad would be proud. One thing I wanted to bring up for sure, because we are in the season of Lent right now, and it's a time of fasting for a lot of people. I found this really intriguing in Isaiah chapter 58. It says, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. I found that absolutely intriguing because, again, this concept of fasting, people think, oh, this is where I'm morose, where I... very pious because I'm denying myself of things that I like. Look at me. I am in denial of the things that I want. And here, God, talking to the nation of Israel, who was getting that way about fasting, says, you're missing the point. Here is what fasting is all about. And in the midst of all that, to share food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked, to clothe him. That blew me away.
It's beautiful.
How often do you hear people talk about fasting? Here's what you should do when you fast. Feed, clothe, shelter.
It's a great verse. And then it goes on. What else does it say? God is glorified in
right.
that. God is glorified. And I think it says something.
And your healing will quickly come.
Right.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah, it does.
And more than that, that you'll call to the Lord and the Lord will answer.
Yes.
I mean, it makes the Lord happy when we're willing to do all this. And then, of course, the famous passage in Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus gives the parable about the king. And we'll just pick it up in verse 41, because this is the part that I think is the most important part. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed in the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. And that kind of ties it all up from everything that we read from Old Testament to New Testament. Jesus puts a nice bow on it right there. And again, people saying, well, you know, that tithing thing sounds kind of cool, but we're not under the law. We're under grace. Okay, well, here, Jesus said, anytime you see someone who needs this, you do it as if you're doing it for me. That's how you should behave.
And that
I fall far short of that, by the way. If anyone thinks like I'm, you know, stepping on your toes and saying, ha-ha, you're not doing enough, I'm not doing enough. This is for me. When I was doing the study, I was talking about this with Doug beforehand. I was doing the study. It's like, if I were doing a show about this, what would I need to hear? Well, this is it. This is what I need to hear.
Yeah, this goes back to your question from the start of the show. What can Christians do to reach out to the homeless and the needy? And that answers it. And that's what Jesus tells us to do. So it's a great passage, great way to answer that question. And, you know, for those, I truly feel called to serve in this ministry, and it is a joy to be able to help and one of the great joys that I get to experience is I do get to see the donors, the people that bring in clothes. You and I did that before with some of the,
we had a mountain of clothes. It was amazing.
More than that. I mean, people were so good. Your listeners brought so many clothes, and just to reach out when we do food drives, we've had a great response from the community. There are a lot of wonderful, generous, and obedient people that respond to that passage and do it for the Lord.
Well, why don't you give people a little bit of information about how they can get in touch with the rescue mission? Maybe now they're interested in helping out, if you need volunteers. We talked a little bit earlier about where to drop stuff off. Refresh them about that. Give them some general information about how they can do something now with Albuquerque Rescue Mission and where they would go to do that.
Okay. Thank you, Yo. The rescue mission, as I said, is located at 2nd and Iron. The best thing to do is just call us. The phone number is 346-HOPE, 346-HOPE or 346-4673. And if you're just interested in responding because of this program tonight, just when the receptionist answers the phone, tell them you want to talk to the guy that was on the radio show with Yo on Sunday night, and I'll know what you're talking about. But we're interested in volunteers. We're interested in gifts in kind, which are clothing, food, whatever you want to bring down that might be able to be used by the homeless. And I want to point out that when we get clothes, and we've got a very small donation center, we sort them very quickly. Whatever we get, we sort very quickly. And what we can use, we use. What we cannot use goes to other ministries. We do not just junk it.
You don't hoard.
No, we do not hoard. We supply stuff to lots of different places so that it goes to good use. And we're also interested in financial donations, your material donations, and your time. If you want to come down and volunteer, please call us and we'll talk about volunteer opportunities as well.
I'm going to volunteer Steve-O to come down there and help you serve breakfast one of these mornings.
He could do that. We need a little bit of energy boost, and I think Steve could provide that down there.
You know, he did breakfast here once, and I think, you know, that was like just for fun.
Yeah.
This would actually have some meaning. Yeah, I hope Steve-O's listening, because I just volunteered him for something. He's going to be surprised if he's not listening and comes in tomorrow. Oh, by the way, this week you're going to go serve breakfast down at the Albuquerque Rescue Mission.
It'd be great to have him.
And his response will be, dude, what?
Yes. But I'd encourage people to do that, because it we talk about that fear of the unknown. That is a perfect place to come down and meet some wonderful people.
Do you need a lot of help serving breakfast?
Yeah, you know, we get a lot of volunteers, and it's a wonderful ministry. Breakfast is the hardest time to get people, because it's kind of early in the morning.
See, that's why Steve would be perfect, because his show is already early in the morning.
We ask our volunteers to be there at 5:30 in the morning. We serve from 6 to 7.
Wow, really? Okay.
Yes.
I think we could do that. All right. Steve-O, good luck. Hope you enjoy that. Well, one final thing I want to touch on, the number one need of homeless anyone is the need for Jesus Christ. And when I was thinking about all this, how do we meet the need of people? The one verse that kept coming back to my mind was Matthew 11:28, where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And I know there's so many people, not just homeless, so many people who need to hear that. There's so many people weary and burdened that need to come to Jesus, and Jesus will give them rest.
Yes.
That doesn't mean he's going to solve all their problems magically, but that you can have rest for your souls, rest for your spirit, and rest for eternity with him. And that is the greatest gift. So if you've been listening tonight and you've been feeling weary and burdened, maybe you are in that situation where you're homeless, one of those invisible homeless. Maybe you're someone who lives with the constant worry about that. You know, I keep hearing everybody's one paycheck away from being homeless. That may or may not be true, but I know this, that if you dwell on that, you will be weary and burdened. And Jesus says if you come to him, he will give you rest. Again, coming to Jesus isn't going to solve all your problems overnight. You're not going to be wealthy and famous instantly when you come to Jesus, but you can have rest in him. You can have peace. You can have joy. You can have eternity of life with God in the his presence, where you'll never have to worry about being one paycheck away from being homeless. You'll never have to worry about not having enough food. Never have to worry about not making enough money. And for me, that's the greatest security anyone could ever have. And if you'd like to know more about that, please send us an email, studio@m88.org, or call Doug at the Albuquerque Rescue Mission. What was that number again?
346-HOPE.
And I know Doug would love to tell you more about how you can have an eternal home. None of us have to be homeless for eternity. We can all have a home with Christ, regardless of what our situation is here. You will always have a home with Christ. Christ said when he was leaving the disciples that he was going to prepare a place for them. I mean, how cool is that? God is making you a home. I don't know what your situation is here, but you have a home. And you can experience having a home for all eternity when you come to Christ. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit about marriage. It's going to be a great program with Deborah White Smith, one of my favorite authors when it comes to the subject of marriage. She always has good insights that will challenge you to think, which is what Raw Talk is all about. So join us next week. And you're probably thinking, yeah, but you know, I'm in college, I'm in high school. Hey, you know what? I'll tell you this right now. It's never too early to start preparing for marriage. And a lot of the things that you learn about how to have a good marriage apply to any relationship you'll ever have. So hope you'll join us next week as we talk a little bit about marriage, love, romance to wrap up this month of February. And until next week, hope you have a shway week in the Lord. Thanks for joining us here on Raw Talk.